couple of items to go over here. One was scheduling, but I think I'd prefer we do that with all of us here. The other item I put on the list was really to entertain future discussion with the board about the thresholds we currently use for intergovernmental agreements and doing leases or lease amendments. Currently, when we enter into an intergovernmental agreement, keep in mind, with a contract, the threshold for department directors and other appointed authorities is $150,000 for a contract.
Your mic's not on. It's not on. No, that's...
For an intergovernmental agreement, that threshold is $5,000.
Yeah, this is the issue I brought up.
Yes.
I remember this.
And this has been a kind of a source of concern and frustration by a number of departments, technology services, WES, tourism, and others, about having such a low threshold when what you're dealing with is really not a policy issue regarding intergovernmental agreements, but one involving financial remuneration for exchange of services at $5,000.
It's not $5,000, a rent increase is $5,000.
Well, there's a difference between leases and intergovernmental agreements.
Okay.
So intergovernmental agreements, the board has the substantive sole authority to approve intergovernmental agreements. The board some time ago delegated to appointing authorities and department directors the ability to enter into intergovernmental agreements at a value of $5,000 or less. And so what I'd like to be able to do is to entertain a discussion with the board in the future at what would be a work session, the idea of maybe elevating that threshold so it's actually comparable to the contracting thresholds that we currently have. With regard to entering into leases, currently there no department director or elected official has the independent authority to enter into a lease. All leases have to go to the Board of County Commissioners for action. And all leases do get reviewed by county council. And the question would be whether or not for either leases or amendments to leases, whether or not the board would consider setting in some kind of threshold with respect to that. And I'd be doing some discussions with department directors and elected officials on what might be prudent with respect to those issues, and then setting up what would be a future study session with the board to talk about what those might look like at some point in time. But I will tell you, on the intergovernmental agreement side of things, that's been a key frustration and a key concern on the part of different department directors at the threshold level. One counterpoint, though, is that in some cases, the value of intergovernmental agreements isn't the dollar value, but it's the relationship or the policy value. So, for example, when we entered into an intergovernmental agreement with the cities of Tualatin and Metro and West Lynn and Lake Oswego over the Stafford area, that didn't involve any kind of remuneration. That was purely a policy matter. And so those kinds of matters should remain in the province of the Board of County Commissioners because they involve policy and policy related to your relationship with other governmental units. But the question would be, if we enter into a particular agreement where there's an exchange of services, for example, and remuneration for those services, whether or not there's some other level other than the $5,000 that might make it a little easier operationally to be able to conduct business. So just wanted to bring that up.
I guess I need an example. So our planning department does an IGA with Malala, that they're going to provide planning, mm-hmm. which would be more than $5,000.
But probably less than $150,000.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. And, mm-hmm. So give me an example of a $5,000 IGA. There probably isn't one.
Well, I don't know. So you might, you know, one of our small grants might be with a local governmental unit, where the actual instrument would, it would involve something less than $5,000, would require board approval.
Yeah, I can think of several. I guess the one thing, Don, that I would be, when we have that discussion, I'd like to look at is some of these that are broken out for a period of time, but are really followed by a subsequent agreement. And collectively, they add up to far more than $150,000. And that they're, I think those are the ones that ought to be, maybe have at least a discussion around. But I would be concerned really that, you know, because someone could say, geez, I'm just gonna, you know, it's a $3 million deal, but we're gonna divide it up amongst periods of time in $150,000 blocks, or $149,999 blocks.
Bet you $10, that's why that was created that way.
Probably.
We've actually addressed that concern over the course of the past year with respect to our contracts. So, because in the past practice over a multiple period of years, you had exactly that kind of result in some cases. We tightened that up to apply the rule as we understand it, which is the value of the contract, if it's over $150,000, no matter how many years, that it may be a multi-year contract that in any course of any 1 year may be less than $150,000, but over the course of, say, 5 or 6 years, might be considerably more. That requires board approval.
Well, I'm just listening to your words verbatim there, and I would think that I could draw a distinction between the agreement in writing versus the agreement.
Yeah, I got you.
The other thing I would say is that when possible, our goal is to reduce the number of leases.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for property.
For property. Property leases.
Yeah.
There are certain circumstances, for example, where we're running out of space and people are moving outside the county to give space to another department. I think that's something we need to address. You know, is it we need another building, or are we looking at our facilities and making sure we're getting adequate use of space or something like that? But I want to see fewer leases. Used to be, and I think it might still be true, but we've had a couple of leases I really felt that it was like, oh good, the government's going to rent my building, I can really charge them. And we've turned down some of those leases over the years. So that, I want to reduce that lease. Okay?
Okay. So we'll follow up. It'll probably be a couple of months before we come back to you with something at a work study session on that issue. So,
okay.
Where did Ken go? He disappeared.
He just went to the restroom.
Okay.
And I was talking with Emmett, so I didn't track any of that conversation. So I don't know what you guys were talking about. If there's anything I need to know, you just catch me up later.
I can catch up with you on that.
Great.
Yeah. Actually, Ken too would have an interest in that subject as well. I'll catch up with him.
All we're doing is he asked about moving a couple items to a work session to discuss leases and IGAs. Amounts.
And we all agreed. Okay, sounds fascinating. Let's do it.
It is fascinating. I think it'll be a night meeting.
So if there was a call, I mean, let's just say the auditor said, you know, I want to look at all your IGAs. Mm-hmm. Where, how many places would that be? Or how many offices would that entail?
Boy, that could involve almost every county office and department may have some form of intergovernmental agreement. Whether it's the sheriff's office and an intergovernmental agreement with the city to provide patrol services, whether it's health, housing, and human services in providing money related to the delivery of social services in a particular community, any county office and department might have something along those lines. DTD and the planning and building departments.
It would seem logical that anyone's authorized to sign that would be a limited number of people within the county, right? And not a substantial amount more than I can imagine that there will be a whole lot of departments. And then secondly, that there would be a place in which those are findable, I guess. There's one place which all the agreements are there to be found.
Well, I think you want to give Don the ability to sign those agreements as long as they're less than $150.
I'm hearing that, that IGAs may be exchanged that Don ever even knows of or sees of, right?
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily, but I mean, we'll work up some ideas and some proposals to bring back and talk about. But you could end up having a threshold for the county administrator as well as a threshold for the department director. They may be different, so. Okay, what, we're ready for scheduling maybe? Okay.
Yes, we have a long list to do, to go over today. The first item I have is for Thursday, June 21st. It's Senator Olson's Town Hall at 6 p.m. in Estacada. Okay, there's two events happening on Saturday, June 23rd. The first one, it's sort of an all-day event, Amateur Radio Emergency Services Field Day that goes from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. at night or later at Westlake Park. The other event is the Sandy Fire District Number 72 Station Grand Reopening that goes from 2 to 5 in Sandy. Okay.
And I can't any commitment.
Excuse me, that's fine.
Well, I can't go look at my calendar so fast as we go through these, so I'm not.
Yeah.
Silence doesn't necessarily mean.
No, and your staff, they all have copies of this. So, yeah, you can go over that stuff with them later. On Saturday, June 30th, is the Estacada's Uncorked event. It goes from 3 to 8 in Estacada.
I'd be back on the way down from the mountain.
Yeah, okay. On Monday, July 2nd, we have two events. The first one is the DUII court commencement at 10 a.m. at the courthouse, and at 2 p.m., the adult drug court commencement at Willamette Falls Community Center.
July 2nd?
July 2nd,
wow,
yes.
That's a tough one.
Okay. On Saturday, July 7th, it's the, oh, I'm in, how do you pronounce this?
Ermitinger House Grand Opening.
Yes, from 12 to 4 here in Oregon City.
You know what that is?
It's a historic house.
It's an old house down, it's an old historic house at the back of the fire station, isn't it? Yeah.
Cool.
And I think that we got some CDBG money to help renovate it.
And the last item on the list is for Thursday, July 12th, is the NCPRD's Great American Barbecue at Noon at North Clackamas Park.
Great American Barbecue?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know we had a Great American Barbecue.
I didn't either.
Apparently
you know now.
Is that something
it's
new?
It's lunchtime.
Is that something new?
I don't know if it's a new event, but it's one of our NCPRD sponsor events.
I'd like to bring back the Easter egg hunt.
I would too, actually. That was fun. But it took a lot of work.
Yes,
it was,
I know.
Time.
Huge
Barton Park.
At yeah. Barton Park, it was fun, though.
It was fun.
It was just a fun thing. Yeah.
I think there was, yeah, it was cool because of, well, the way they had arranged it. There were just so many darn kids. It was just great.
Different ages, you know. And the toddlers would just wander around. It was hysterical.
Well, that's all I have for scheduling today.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
See, I'm speaking that day at the Lodge.
Cool.
So should we take a break while we wait for the
presenters?
Well,
it's time, isn't it?
About 8 minutes.
Yeah, let's go ahead and take an 8-minute break.